You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Football cards collecting and investing all day, every day here on the Card Quest. It is official. Andy and I will be at the Nationals, so we need help, right? We want to not necessarily have a table, but we want to set up and do a show. So if any of you have any leads on that, we're not going to take up all your space. We just want it for a little bit, baby. But so excited about that. Got some really fun things coming up here on the channel. And Andy, the age-old question, you've been getting it a lot recently, and this is just what the super high-end people do. A lot of them just do quarterbacks. So our poll question is up. Who do you mainly collect? Andy, my question for you is, do you only do quarterbacks now?
No, I do not only do quarterbacks, because that would be highly unbalanced. You know, imagine if you had a fantasy team or any type of investment portfolio. And now with these dynasty fantasy leagues, it's very much like an investment portfolio, because you're stuck with the players unless you cut or trade them. And so when you compare that to having your football cards as an investment portfolio, because you want your collection to hold value. I mean, everybody should want it to hold value. So it's balanced. You know, it's balanced. I've got quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. I've even got some defensive players in there as well. I'd like to – that's probably one sector of the football card hobby I'd like to get into even deeper, is the defensive players. Because, Carter, look at, for example, right, compare Justin Jefferson's rookie ticket auto values to that of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is never going to surpass Justin Jefferson's value. Justin Jefferson is always going to be more valuable than Kirk Cousins.
Always will be. And look, I like the fact that right now in the NFL, go to Underdog Fantasy. Promo code Quest or my promo code Carter, doesn't matter. Go to Underdog Fantasy, sign up. Andy, let everyone know who the top two picks consistently in fantasy football have been.
And this is a great point. It's Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, two LSU wide receivers. So shout out to LSU. But this is in a market. So that would be in a market that actually values wide receivers and running backs over quarterbacks because of the positional scarcity and the athletic profile and the opportunity that those guys have on their team. But if we were to look at a super flex fantasy draft, Carter, I guarantee you those guys would are still going to be the first skill position guys taken, probably towards the back end of the first round. But then we're going to have some quarterbacks go before them.
Yeah, and look, I'm a guy who started his collecting journey with Burrow, but eventually moved to Tyrann Mathieu. I love defensive player collectors. I do. Shout out my guy Parker. He's an Xavier McKinney collector. That is a deep cut. But yeah, you know, I love collecting it all, but I always like to be straight up with everyone. as many of you know, I have been focusing a lot on legendary quarterbacks just because I've enjoyed going into the rabbit hole from the tops to the rookie ticket autos to the actual game-worn patches. But modern, Andy, I hope to see Breece Hall have an absolutely massive year. I hope Bijan Robinson has an absolutely massive year. And Micah Parsons, I hope he continues to be what he is and make that draft class, that 2020 draft class or 2021 draft class with him and Jefferson, that class, that Jefferson Chase, that class just had so many skill guys and defensive guys turn out to be absolute freaking superstars to where Football Cards isn't just about the quarterback position. So what we want people to do, if you're watching this down the road, in the comment section below, are you only doing quarterbacks or are you moving to other positions? And I think, Andy, there will be more people open to moving to more positions because there were a lot of people that were burnt out buying thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance cards. If I were any one of you, I would be hating what I did last year and moving to a guy like Garrett Wilson, who I think is going to make a huge leap into superstardom this year.
I also think it's a little bit lower risk because think about it. You know, a lot of us understand you want a rare card. You want a card with scarcity, serial numbered, rookie autographed, you know, maybe a high grade as well in there. And when you look at the value of those rare cards for these skill position players, a lot of time you can get a really nice one for under $100 or even in the case of like Garrett Wilson, you're going to pay a couple $100s, but that same card for, you know, Trevor Lawrence, for example, or even Mac Jones, whenever he was hyped up. And even now, even still for Mac Jones, that could still be close to $1,000 card in some cases more than, but for a guy that just was the offensive rookie of the year. And now he's got, you know, Aaron Rodgers coming in to throwing balls, you could still get that same quality of card for a couple $100s. So I look at it from the actual investment side of it. I mean, it's a little bit lower risk there. And then you also balance it out, Carter, because anytime typically that a quarterback goes off, he's bringing a wide receiver, running back, or a tight end with him. I mean, all the guys in the league are synonymous with their alpha wide receiver or tight end, right?
Oh, yeah. And one thing I want to bring up, Andy, I actually had someone at a show recently walk up with a gold number to 10 Garrett Wilson card, wanting $1,000 for it. And I was like, I don't have that just yet. Come see me later in the show. But yeah, I'm glad that kids are open. I noticed this at the last show that I did. More kids were open to skill position guys, right? It wasn't just about the quarterbacks. There's a lot of younger collectors, some in their 20s, some in their teens, that walked up to me looking for skill guys. And look, I got a lot of Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase now in college uniform, but still, I totally agree with you. And Andy, to take it one step further, you know, we've talked recently about Desmond Ridder and Sam Howell. Those two guys have been very interesting players in the Card Quest community and just in general. A lot of speculation. You know, the NFC is wide open at the quarterback position. I just think the rookie ticket auto prices are just steep. I mean, you're looking at over, what, $200 per sale, basically, on their rookie ticket autos. I've not checked recently because I'm just not going to look at those guys at all. And I'm like, God, dog. I mean, I can get some super rare Jets and other players' cards for about that price. So, Andy, all we want people to do is, yeah, quarterbacks are going to give you the highest upside. If Sam Howell comes out looking like young Russell Wilson, then, yeah, the hype is going to be out of control, especially in a market like Washington that has good skill guys and they're going to have new ownership. There's a breath of fresh air in that franchise. If Sam Howell kills it, yeah, his card's going to go through the roof, and they do have a good framework there in Washington. But that's the thing, Andy. He needs to kill it first for all of that to pay off.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of guys are – you know, making a bigger bet. They're trying to. It's almost like when you're buying a quarterback like Sam Howell or Desmond Ridder, or now we're looking at Jordan Love. You know, you you're making like, it's kind of like making a 3 or 5 leg parlay, right? You're trying to get more things to go right, because ultimately it's part of that storyline, right? Are they winning? Are they in MVP talks? What's their touchdown to interception ratio? You know, what's their EPA? Like, all these things go in, and then you look at how young they are, the draft capital spent on them, and that can kind of dictate how easily they are thrown to the wayside, you know. And you're making a bigger bet because you got to spend so much more money to get their nice rookie cards, that if you invested in a running back or a wide receiver that has the upside in his athletic profile, that's proven it in college, that has had flashes of it in the NFL, but maybe he just needs one more domino to fall to get the bigger opportunity, or to get a quarterback upgrade, or just to be thrust to the front of the depth chart on his team. And all of a sudden that storyline comes together for that skill position player. And you only had to invest a fraction of that. And from a flipping perspective, that's a home run recipe to make, you know, the same ROI percentage, just maybe on a little bit smaller scale. But at the same time, it's a lot less risk. And you have like a player that's proven to be good, whereas a quarterback, they don't always translate that talent as easily from college to the NFL.
One more thing on Sam Howell. I will say, if you bought his cards now, he is going to look good in the Underwear Olympics, right? He's got an arm. He's got a little flair to his game. I'm telling you, before the season, just one decent preseason game or one viral Terry McLaurin, you know, back shoulder one-handed catch, how cards, you could make a quick flip in the preseason hype. So, you know, going back to my point a minute ago, you might not necessarily need to see them play off or pay off in a game or whatever, but I do think Cal will have a few of those wow kind of throws. We welcome in all our viewers here for the live version of the show. Once again, if you're listening to this on a podcast, we go live every Tuesday, 1:30 Central, 2:30 Eastern. I want to shout out Steve, Blake, Matt, Derek, Mr. T, Bob, and I want to shout out BCJ and my guy Scott. Let's put Scott's comment up here. I like Garrett Wilson, but I love Chris Olave because I think he's just as talented and his cards go for a lot less, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, Olave is like his twin brother, right, from Ohio State, and he's in a good situation with the Saints. They moved up to get him in the first round. Now he gets a quarterback upgrade in Derek Carr, and your Saints are kind of like fighting for, you know, division title of the dumpster fire division of the NFL. It shouldn't be too difficult of a path, although it may be. Who knows? But yeah, I do like Chris Olave because his cards are much cheaper. There could obviously be that that pop in the beginning of the season. And I think it's good to make it's good to make definitions or like draw lines in the sand of what your plan is to do with any given card that you buy. Like, are you planning to hold it long term? Are you planning to just make the profit on the card when it becomes available to you? Or do you have a lot of collection value in this card and you really are buying it for your collection, your wall, and you don't really have plans to sell it? Because I think that'll really dictate kind of how much you spend on a card and what your plans are and how much you could actually get back for it in return.
You know, Andy, I'm a huge Treylon Burks guy, and I wanted the Saints to just draft Treylon Burks instead of moving up and getting Chris Olave. We still think Burks can go off this year, but I'm so glad I was wrong about that. Chris Olave looks like the real freaking deal for the Who Dat Nation. It is going to be interesting, though, because his target competition just got a lot more fierce, right? So they signed Foster Moreau, who's a very underrated tight end. Obviously, Michael Thomas is back. Rashid Shaheed, Andy, that's a deep cut in your underdog fantasy drafts. They just signed James Washington, but Chris Olave is still going to be the option number one in that offense. So, Scott, I love that freaking play. Let's take one more, Andy, before we get into another topic here from BCJ. Found two silver prism Kadarius Coney rookie cards at the card show this past weekend. What are your thoughts on him having a big year in Kansas City?
Well, I think everybody kind of plays second fiddle there to Travis Kelce, and they're used interchangeably. But the thing that he's got going for him, you've got a clear Super Bowl contending team here. So if you don't find that opportunity early in the season, he is a really young guy. It's not a guy that I would go and spend an arm and a leg for, but he's a guy that I could see there being many future events that could really hype up his cards, right? There's games in the beginning of the season. There's games where he could go off in the middle of the season. He is electric in the open field. He's just a little bit of a knucklehead, Carter. So he's going to be relevant at any point, plus the playoff potential of the Chiefs. Now, all of a sudden, I think that if you could get a deal below comps on other receivers from his class, that he is a really good flip candidate. I don't expect him to consistently produce on a week-in, week-out basis and get there from a, like, hey, this guy went from being a fifth, sixth-round fantasy wide receiver to now being a first-round wide receiver, like we've seen the values in Deebo Samuel's cards do, or even like Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson do last year. So, you know, that's kind of where I see Kadarius Toney. He's kind of like that guy that just every once in a while pops up on people's radars and he gets a few buyers, and then he goes back down.
Yeah, this gets into a pretty deeper philosophical debate, Andy, that you brought up recently, and I loved it. When you buy a Kadarius Toney rookie card, you're buying it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In a New York Giants uniform, he's wearing number 89. Which, you know, is kind of looked down on now if you're a wide receiver. You don't want a number in the 80s. I hate that. I like the old school number in the 80s kind of thing. But his tenure with the Giants was disastrous, right? They used a first-round pick, couldn't really get healthy. There was some other stuff. And then he gets traded to Kansas City. So all his rookie cards and 90% of his cards out there are him in a New York Giants uniform. Now, I just looked. You can get some rookie autos less than $15. It's definitely worth it. What is interesting about Toney going into this year, BCJ, is that a lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans already love him simply because he won them a Super Bowl with the punt return and the touchdown that he had in that game. So there's always going to be Chiefs fans out there that will want a piece of Kadarius Toney in their collection. He's already accomplished so much for them while not actually being a big producer, if that makes sense. But yeah, I think this year with Kansas City, with Tyreek Hill gone, they spread the wealth out. I will say that Andy Reid in particular loves Kadarius Toney. They wanted him in the draft a few years ago. Obviously the Giants overspent and got him in the first round. Then they went and traded for him. That lets you know how much they do adore this man. And I don't see a whole lot in Sky Moore. The Rashee Rice pick was very interesting. I wasn't the biggest Rashee Rice fan coming out of SMU. So Kadarius Toney might be the number one guy from start to finish. So, yeah, I mean, one thing I also like about him, Andy, he has got a nasty wiggle when the football is in his hands. He is electric. Kind of reminds me of a former Chief, Dante Hall, when he has the ball in his hand. So there you go. Now, Andy, I want to ask you a question about release dates and all of that. We're seeing some optic out there. The sticker autos on some of these, which are kind of, you know, disappointing, but still, your thoughts on the release calendar and some other things you've been seeing.
Yeah, so I'm like the set I'm most anxious about, I guess, eagerly anticipating is the 2023 Chronicles, because that's kind of like my first real opportunity. Once that settles here sometime in June, like towards the end of June, and that starts flooding eBay, I do plan to make a lot of pickups on 2023 rookies that I expect to flash in training camp and preseason to flip before their pro uniform cards come out, because that'll be the only thing available. It's very limited supply. For this past draft class, you know, the newest thing on the block, Optic Contenders rookie ticket autos. Optic is getting ready to be released very shortly. So that's always a big demand product when anytime you have a rated rookie logo or you have that deep ticket theme. I like how those two words go together. The rookie ticket autos, those are always very popular.
Yeah, and I was looking at a Cade York. I don't know if there's many Cade York fans out there. He's a kicker, former LSU kicker. I've seen a few of his orange rookie ticket optics out there already. God, just it was a sticker auto. It was a dagger through my heart, Andy Frederick Theodore Case. And I was like, why? Just put it on the daggum card. But yeah, as far as releases are concerned, I'm really excited to see how this will coincide with the National. Obviously, National Treasures and odd stuff, you know, floating out into the atmosphere. One big thing about, you know, the National last year, it was a very heavy, at least on the vlogs that I saw, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, people were spending crazy on these guys and they can't play a lick. It's
Davis Mills,
Davis Mills. It was definitely a time, to say the least. But yeah, you know, for me, I don't know, Andy. I don't know how I feel about some of these releases with Prism already being out there. We shall see what happens with all of this.
Yeah, we really shall. Yeah, you got you could see here in the beginning of June, you've got Select for 2022, June 9th. You've got Select coming out. And then you've got a Leaf product for 2023. But this is really the big one here, June 14th, this 2023 Chronicles Collegiate Draft Picks. That'll be big for the 2023 class. That's going to be the most popular product that arguably, generally speaking, does the best for 2023 rookies heading into the season. And we know once we start getting more news and some of these rookies flash in training camp, you know, some of these depth charts get shooken up and these players' time to shine. And they're so young, they can drive so much fear of missing out. And those are really the only products available for them. So we can see some big spikes. There's big flip opportunities there, you know, big flip opportunities for running backs are a big target of mine in this draft class. This is pretty deep. And you're gonna have limited supply on those guys, and I you know, my plan is for running backs is never really to hold them long term. It's always more of a does this player have the athletic ability to execute given the opportunity, and if so, then I will invest in that player. Because especially if they're young, right? Especially if they're first, second, third year type player, they're under like 27 years old. There's still a lot of future hype events in their career for me to flip that card on, and I will definitely take advantage of that, because those guys, you know, running back highlights are probably, I'd say, up there with the best all time highlights in the NFL.
Type Y for yes, type N for no. You have bought more college uniform cards this past year than ever. I want everyone watching live right now, type Y for yes, type N for no. If you're listening to this on a podcast, answer that question to yourself, right? Because we have these licenses now. Topps, Bowman, Chrome, we've been talking quite a bit. And you mentioned the Chronicles draft picks a minute ago, Andy. I've just, it just feels like there have been more people buying more college products. Scott says no. SP123 says no. Luis Ramos and Eclipse Cards both say no. But Mr. T, Derek, and a few others say yes. So there you go. Can I say one quick thing, though, Andy? I did give out Tank Bigsby as a play of the week. I'm hearing some good things out of Jacksonville. Be ready for Tank. They're not going to run Etienne into the ground because he has an injury history in first-round draft capital. Load up on Tank Bigsby. He is going to have a few spike weeks in the best offense he has ever played with in his career. Played at Auburn. Tank Bigsby produced in the SEC behind bad offensive lines with bad coaching and bad quarterbacks. Now you get T-Law. You get a good offensive line. You get a good division. Better watch out, Andy. The tank.
Yeah, they're not going to give 100% of the workload to Travis Etienne anyways. So there's a real spot that Tank Bigsby earns himself into a timeshare with Etienne. And then if anything were to happen to Etienne, say you've got a bunch of Etienne rookie cards, well, it makes sense to diversify and handcuff him, just like you would do in fantasy football. Maybe you've got Etienne on your dynasty fantasy team. Well, it makes sense to go ahead and stash Tank on your bench, you know, or have him in the taxi squad. Have those rookie cards ready in case anything were to happen in Etienne, just like happened in his rookie season with the Liz Frank in preseason. You never know, can't predict injuries, but you definitely, that handcuff process works really well in football cards as well.
I want everyone in the chat right now, give me the wide receiver that takes the big leap next year, okay? I want that person's name in the chat right now. Is there a sleeper? You know, there's been so much on Bijan Robinson, Andy, that I remember when Drake London and Kyle Pitts was all the rage in Atlanta. I feel like there's just a few of these receivers that may or may not be going under the radar. I am looking for that wide receiver. Look at Card Guy 20. Look at Card Guy 20 bring it, just trying to placate to me right now. Terrace Marshall Jr. Andy, are you buying some TM6 right now, or do you think it's the?
Yeah, I definitely got some exposure to TM6. I think that somebody on the Cardinals offense is going to step up, and I think TM6 does fit that bill a lot, especially from a football card standpoint, because you've got pro uniform cards of him. He's very young. He does have a very good athletic profile. He's just been struggled with injuries, or the incredible depth chart competition he had in LSU, or the depth chart competition he had last year on the Panthers, the lack of quarterback play and offensive play calling on the Panthers. So it's like all these different things have held him back. And this year, I do believe, is going to be his most hyped year of his career heading into the season. If he can look good and flash in training camp, build some chemistry with Bryce Young, and hopefully that's not like Mingo or DJ Chark or Adam Thielen, you know, as the veteran there. Hopefully it's Terrace Marshall that they're showcasing in the training camp films and in the preseason process with Bryce Young, building that chemistry, because somebody's going to step up in that offense and be touted as their more or less their alpha. And so that's great, because Terrace Marshall's got those Panthers rookie cards out. There's a lot of availability. Prices are dirt cheap, so it checks a lot of boxes where you can buy in super low on a guy that's in that Panthers uniform with the rookie cards and the autographs and the serial numbers and stuff, and load up and hope for a hype boost in the beginning of the season, because, like we said, NFC South is weak. The Carolina Panthers schedule is pretty easy. They've got a pretty solid defense, and the offense is new. It's young, pun intended there. It's young, so, you know, hey, let's see what happens.
By the way, sign up for Underdog Fantasy. If you truly believe in these guys, draft them in Underdog Drafts, because the ADP of some of these guys are so low. Take advantage. We get not one Derek, who's a super sharp fantasy player. We also get Scott at the same exact time. Are you seeing this, Andy, in the chat right now? They both type Nico freaking Collins of the Houston Texans. We even got a John Metchie mixed in there as well. Are you higher on this Texans offense going into next year, Andy, and in particular, Nico?
Ah, man, I'm actually higher on John Metchie than Nico Collins. I am. I do think Nico Collins has potential. He's shown potential going all the way back to college. And I think you could certainly weigh in on the way that Michigan ran their offense. But I do believe Nico Collins was misused in college, or he would have had a better production profile and probably had better draft capital coming out and into the NFL. And now he does get a quarterback upgrade in C.J. Stroud. So it'll be interesting to see who steps up in that offense between Nico or John Metchie, who now makes his rookie debut. But I love the storyline of John Metchie ultimately better. You know, he does have some draft capital higher than Nico Collins. He did go to Alabama. He is now a cancer survivor, and he is entering essentially his rookie year, and their pro uniform cards out for him. So I kind of like targeting him because I see the prices are pretty much the same. You know, maybe Nico's a little bit cheaper and you can find a little bit higher upside just by buying it a little bit lower. But I think John Metchie is still super cheap right now, too.
Calvin Ridley getting some love in the chat from BCJ. I like it. I mean, one really good thing about Calvin Ridley, Andy, you get the 2018 year. That was before print runs got absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and that's the difficult part about Calvin Ridley. Some of Calvin Ridley's rare stuff, people are holding that close to the vest, man. They're charging a premium for it. There's not a whole lot of Calvin Ridley entering auctions. You really have to be diligent and hunt those down because the availability of 2018 rookie cards is just nowhere near the same as it is for 2020, 2021, or 22. So you have to be more diligent. Calvin Ridley does come with a premium. Even his more base stuff, like a field-level silver or an optic holo, those are still going to be over $20, where if you were to look at Terrace Marshall Jr., John Metchie, or Nico Collins, that's a dollar bin type card. That's just the print run differences between 2021, 22, and 2018.
Yeah, you know, I should have pulled this up before, but there's a photo of me and Calvin Ridley at SEC Media Days, and I was pointing at his gold watch. He had, like, just the biggest watch I've ever seen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And I did a really good interview with him. So, I mean, I like him, even though he's a Bama guy. If you go back and listen to one of the early episodes, I think my first ever play of the week was like Calvin Ridley. And after 4 weeks, he was the number one receiver in fantasy in 2021. And obviously, he was suspended in 2022. Now Calvin Ridley, Alabama, huge fan base, you know, being from the South, playing for the Falcons, and now playing for Jacksonville. I like it. I am all in on the Jaguars this year. I just think this offense is going to freaking explode with Doug Peterson. And I'm not even, Andy, as you know, I'm not even the biggest Trevor Lawrence guy. But I like that. I like the minds of many of you out there. Calvin Ridley. Isaiah Hodgins also gets some love from Steve. Andy, your thoughts on Hodgins? Yeah.
Another very ambiguous wide receiver room is the New York Giants. We know that they're going to have to throw the ball more this year. They're in a very difficult schedule. I'm not sure if you saw the Giants opening schedule, but 7 out of the first 9 weeks, they're on the road. It's an NFL record dating back to 1990. So the NFL is just raking the Giants over the coals this year. a second-year head coach, Brian Daboll, has got his work cut out for him. Daniel Jones is certainly going to be put in a situation where he's going to have to throw the ball more. Obviously, he's going to use his legs and Saquon's legs as well. And they have very dynamic offense, but they, you know, they spent some significant draft capital on Jalen Hyatt. You brought in Paris Campbell from the Colts, who had arguably his best career year last year with the Colts. He is a guy capable of putting up a 1,000-plus yard season, but Isaiah Hodgins has been on the roster, and he is right now kind of like their – I guess you would put him in as their wide receiver too, next to Darius Slayton, Paris Campbell, some combination. It's just a very ambiguous wide receiver room, Carter. I'm not sure who's going to step up there and be the number one guy outside of Saquon and Daniel Jones. Right now,
Peyton Manning's boy, Jalen Hyatt. Better look out, man. The Tennessee Vols are coming for it all. And I like Jalen Hyatt. I like how he fits in. I personally am a big Brian Daboll guy. And I have tweets back when this actually happened. And I've gotten a lot wrong. But I said the Bills should have fired McDermott and stuck with Brian Daboll. But they didn't listen to me, and I get it. I'm not an NFL GM, but Brian Daboll was, to me, top five coach in the NFL last year, and I think that's going to continue. He is a very innovative mind, and I know they got to get the Saquon mess sorted out, but I like this offense going into next year, even with Danny freaking Dimes. I think Hodgins is actually a decent play. I just looked at his rookie ticket autos, Andy. $10. You buy one right now. $10.
14. Carter frees up for.
Oh, am I in here? Am I in here? Huh? 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 Is it just me? Type Y for yes. Type in for no. If you could just see me. Huh? 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 Am I out here right now? I'm loving it. But yeah, so you could see me. You can't see him. Andy is got the in Tampa. There was a black hole that hit Tampa, so that's where he is right now. But look, here was something that I wanted to get into today, and I was going to save this for Hobby. What's up, Andy? Good to see you, man.
Hey, I'm back in my own stream. Awesome.
There you go. I was just floating out here, just hanging out with all the Card Quest Nation, but I wanted to get into Hobby Tip of the Week here, Andy, and this actually is going to bleed over a little bit into basketball, okay? So, once again, this is a football card stream. I'm not going to go too deep into basketball. I love the NBA. I don't do NBA cards. I just don't. This was a pretty big thing that happened yesterday in the hobby that Michael Rubin flew out to Paris, and it was geotagged in Paris. It might not have been in Paris, but still. He took a photo with Victor Wembanyama, who is going to be the most hyped NBA draft prospect since LeBron, right? He's 7'4", amazing wingspan, and he's a perimeter guy, which is weird. But Victor Wembanyama on one of the cards said, first ever card I've signed, as like an inscription. I'm going to be honest with you. I love what Michael Rubin is doing in this hobby. I really do. He knows all these guys. It's hard for billionaires, Andy, to be cool because they're billionaires, right? You don't really relate with billionaires, but all the athletes love him. And it seems like he really cares about this hobby. So it was very interesting to see that. Now, I want you to put Derek's comment on the screen right here. Ja Morant getting suspended again wasn't the biggest story. I feel really bad, Andy, for the hobby altogether for the 2019 year. Okay. So my hobby tip of the week is don't get discouraged. Okay. Just don't get discouraged, because I know that there are a lot of people out there for football and basketball that hold the elite 2019 guys. The draft class for football and basketball has been lit on fire for 2019 products. Okay. 2019 Prism is just so dead, right? Because what happened, as you know, Andy, was a lot of people sent in hundreds of thousands of Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, and eventually Jordan Poole cards to get graded. And Andy, they could not have tanked their careers any more than what they've done this year. Now, for three completely different reasons, still, that 2019 class was set on fire. The same thing is true with the Kyler Murray year, right? Because the quarterbacks in that class did not work out. Josh Rosen was one. Dwayne Haskins was one. Obviously, Daniel Jones. I don't think anybody really believes in Daniel Jones. We'll see. And then Kyler Murray is not going to play to start this next year. I just feel bad for people that were fans of that design. Because 2019, and I know Nick Bosa is in that class. He's obviously great. DK Metcalf, Debo Samuel, all those guys. But, Andy, it was a brutal, brutal year for 2019 Prism, because that was the final year of print run before the boom happened with 2020 products.
Yeah, first of all, I agree with you, because, you know, and it goes back to, and I don't know if you set this up this way, but it goes back to those people targeting, well, a NBA, which was touted, you know, in the sports card boom as the most popular sport to invest in. And it was just, you know, had this much higher ceiling because of the global reach and appeal and everything. And the 5-on-5 and all that goes into the NBA, the no helmet effect. But then, yeah, you talk about the quarterback class from 2019. But you look at the skill position class, man, especially for the NFL for 2019. If you were targeting skill singles, whether it was, like you said, Nick Bosa, DK, Debo, A.J. Brown, whether you're talking Terry McLaurin, you know, Josh Jacobs, the skill position class from 2019 has done really well in the NFL. And almost all those guys came into the 2020 season more or less undervalued. Some of them a lot more than others. Like DK, I think, was probably the most expensive skill position guy heading in, maybe with Nick Bosa. But, you know, you look at that, was like Debo took a big step in his card value. So did A.J. Brown. So did Terry McLaurin. So, and Josh Jacobs, but he kind of went down, but now this past year he's back up. So I look at the skill position class, and that's a prime example of why it makes sense to diversify and include these skill position players in your portfolio when they check those athletic profile type boxes and the prior production profile type boxes, and add them in there, man, because those guys are doing really well right now.
I just feel really bad for people that, you know, because Steve brings up the exact point I'm making, Steve, one of our sharpest viewers. That class was out in the peak of the market, right? Because, you know, 2020 Last Dance happened. Then that product started trickling out. And then Zion and Ja were just so big. Now, Luka in 2018 was a different animal in and of itself. But that 2018 quarterback draft class was really good, right? Because you had Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, and both those guys are going to be superstars for at least five more seasons. I just hate it. I just hate it for people that were super excited about 2019 NBA, 2019 NFL, because what really sucks about all those athletes is they looked amazing. They looked amazing to start out. Kyler couldn't have started his career much better considering how bad his coaching was. And, you know, Zion and Ja were two of the fastest rising, you know, superstars, and then Jordan Poole and all of that. There was a lot of money poured into those guys, a lot. And with the market declining and people holding the bag for injuries or not being in shape or can't act right on Instagram, whatever the case may be. I just feel bad for those people. But don't get discouraged. Hold or sell, do whatever you want to do. Stay in the hobby. Don't let your players letting you down let you down. But Andy, your hobby tip of the week.
Yeah, my hobby tip of the week is a really, really clutch one that I just realized this, and maybe a lot of you guys out there already know this, but I just realized this. So I went on Panini's website to redeem my first redemption. When you go on to redeem a redemption, you get the option of waiting what they say is 120 days, which if you talk to people out there, that turns into more like a six-month process for the card that you bought on the redemption. Or you can exchange this for rewards points, which you get in a 24 to 48 hour process from Panini customer service. And you can buy with rewards points a variety of different cards, from some pretty scarce, rare cards of known players to rare cards of unknown players. A lot of unknown players, in fact. But the only way that you can get the 2023 Panini Premier cards that are going to come out later this summer is with rewards points. So this one, for example, was a college ticket auto Rashad White that I bought last year. I was buying Rashad White before the season. I never redeemed it. It's going to expire January of next year. I went and redeemed this for rewards points because at this point I could just buy Rashad White cards in the Bucks uniform. It's a lot better for me, right, for my collection. I like them a lot more. So I got 250 rewards points for this. Actually, 250 rewards points is not bad. Now, my hobby tip is to go on eBay and hunt for all the cheap redemptions and buy them and turn them into rewards points, and then buy the Bijan Robinsons and the Bryce Young and all these other guys, the Joey Porter Juniors that go to the rookie premiere event this summer with Panini, and then they release those. Those are the very first pro uniform autograph cards. They're very limited print run. They sell them for rewards points on their website only, and that's it. And those cards will sell for $400,000 to $500,000 individually. And those are the type of cards you could get and then take to a show and sell for some buku cash right there. And they're all gotten with redemptions that you exchange for rewards points.
I like it. Buku cash, baby. Lots of cash. I love it, man. By the way, speaking of shows, we're going to the National, baby. We are going to – we don't have ticket. We don't have anything. Once again, I know there's more of you in here right now and than from earlier. Anywhere we could set up and do a show, we would love to be able to do it. If you have a table at the National, we'd love to talk to you about partnering or doing whatever. We don't want to take any of your sales or anything. We just want to be able to set up and hang out, record, do some cool stuff.
In fact, we can help promote your dealership. We can help promote your business if we got a little sliver of your table to do a show at.
Yeah, that's all we need, babe. We're not going to take up too much of your time. We're low maintenance too.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
To a few questions before we get into play of the week. Mr. T, is AP a lock for the Hall of Fame? Will he end up being a top 5 running back ever? So let's start with the blatant, obvious truth at the first part of this. Yes, he is as sure of a lock as any player currently playing right now, maybe outside of Aaron Rodgers, maybe. Yes, long story short, yes. But will he end up being a top 5 running back ever? Ever. Andy, that's a strong word.
ever is a very strong word. I think it's likely. I mean, not likely. It's probable. Let me rephrase that, because if you had to like define to put a percentage to it, you know, likely sounds like 90% probability, whereas, you know, probable is more like 50-60% chance. I mean, the thing is, Carter, running backs aren't used like they used to be, and they don't have the roles that they used to have, where they literally put teams on their back. And AP was the last one to win the MVP as a running back, so that is interesting. Maybe Bijan Robinson can change that, man. So I don't know. I think it's probable, but there's some really, I mean, there's some really good players that he's going to have to. I mean, look, he's done with his career, right? I mean, there's a highly unlikely that he's going to come back and play anymore.
Right. All right, so let's start with the guys that are clearly ahead of him. Barry Sanders is clearly ahead of him in my mind. Jim Brown, you know, we can get into debate about era, but, you know, the Peter Kings of the world are going to say he's ahead of him. And then Walter Payton, for sure, is someone that they're going to say he is ahead of Adrian Peterson. Once again, we can get into the era thing, but I think those three, you know, they were likable. I mean, there's a lot of different things. And then it gets into Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson, Thurman Thomas. There's so many different guys, you know, in this next tier. Gale Sayers, so on and so on and so on. So I guess the better question to answer would be, is he the best back of the post-2000 modern era? And my answer to that is probably yes. Even though I like LaDainian Tomlinson more, it's close between those two, but I think those two are so far ahead of just everybody else on this list for me.
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, he's not going to touch the Walter Paytons, the Jim Browns, or the Barry Sanders, but with just like, I mean, some of his highlights and some of his film, I do. I mean, it's like, you know, top five ever. Some of the runs, singular runs that he's made, as you, obviously you can see from a pure statistical point of view, he is ranked as the number 7-8 guy after right. OJ Simpson and Eric Dickerson, even so, between Marshall Faulk and Eric Dickerson. So, you know, he's definitely obviously first ballot lock, like you mentioned, and all that. And I just don't think collectively his highlight reel is as great as some of the top three guys that we mentioned. But, man, some of his singular runs are definitely up there, and he's got a unique running style, especially in the modern day area. And I've got him to thank for getting me into fantasy football. He was number one overall draft pick in the late 2000s whenever I got into fantasy football. He spurred the, you know, like he was the main guy on that show, The League, whenever, you know, that kind of really popularized fantasy football as well. So, you know, Adrian Peterson was the focal point of the NFL back in that time period when it comes to skill position players. And that was really before we started playing super flex leagues. So there was a big premium on AP. And so I think for our kind of modern generation, yeah, he's definitely got to be up there as top 1, 2, 3. We'll see how he goes down after everything's said and done, but that's where he's at right now.
Pretty interesting. You can still get his autographs on rare stuff from, I mean, I sometimes go look at the prices. It's still crazy. Some more modern ones you can get for 80, but if you go back and look at 2011, 07, which, you know, was his rookie year, you can get on-card autographs from 07 with jersey patches in them. 75, 80, 100 bucks. I mean, that's cheap. You know, especially compared to patch cards of Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and quarterbacks. So, yeah, you know, it's if you want to use the word safe, you can use the word safe because he is as safe as you can get. Now, is there some off the field stuff? Yeah, but truth be told, I think most people love them some Adrian Peterson. And if you think his NFL highlights are great, go look at his Oklahoma highlights. Brother, watch out. But yeah, you know, it's a good question because, like, I will say, like, some peaks recently, there have been a lot of peak backs during this post 2000 run that had similar, like, huge season, two seasons, three seasons, and then they vanquish, right? They're washed. And I'm lucky to know a few running backs that have had, like, NFL rushing leader peaks and all that stuff. It's hard. And, you know, with all the fantasy data we have out there about age 27 and all that stuff falling off, Andy, it's crazy because there's guys like Jamaal Charles. Jamaal Charles at his peak was an absolute machine. The analytics community absolutely loves him. And then you have Jamaal Lewis. You have Arian Foster. You have a lot of these guys. CJ 2K. Andy, do you remember the reign of CJ 2K? That son of a gun was a beast.
Yeah, yeah, man. And it's and I think that's what scares a lot of people, because a lot of people will buy the rookie cards of these players and just kind of stash them and plan to hold them long term and think that they're going to go in the you know, the shrine of collection, the same circle as, like, you know, the top guys like Walter Payton and Jim Brown and Barry Sanders and stuff like that. It's just such a much harder path for that to happen for running back when we have scientific data that after 10,000 carries, their production, their efficiency really starts to decline. And of course there's a couple anomalies like Adrian Peterson and Derrick Henry potentially, but you know, it's just, man, it's just such a small percentage of running backs that make it to the NFL that sustain that type of efficiency and performance year after year.
Let's go to a newbie. Look at this. Diamond T Sports Cards. He was just searching on YouTube. And we're live, baby. Let's go, Diamond T. Let's go. At live every Tuesday, 1:30, and Andy does lives throughout the weekend night as well. Good to see you. Someone mentions Curtis Martin. At least Curtis Martin is in the Hall of Fame, but I want you to put BCJ's comment up. This was one guy that just slipped right here. Le'Veon Bell. My goodness gracious, Andy. Part of that 2013 rookie class. With Tyrann Mathieu, Travis Kelce. So lots of cool cards in that 2013 year. Remember, second year Prism, Topps was still around. Andy, Le'Veon Bell was majestic with Big Ben.
And I'm still waiting on that boxing match between Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell, because that would be a great hype event to unload some of his cards if you've had them stashed, because I do have some Le'Veon Bell cards, you know, whenever he moved to the Jets, and there's that one point where Le'Veon Bell was literally playing quarterback, running back, and he probably would have played wide receiver too if they asked him to, you know, when Darnold had mono. I can't remember who the backup was, but yeah, Le'Veon Bell in his heyday was an absolute stud. It was a shame to see his career get derailed by all those issues.
And the biggest of which was one where he bet on himself, the contract dispute. I will never forget that. I will never – just the worst advice. And, you know, I'm a big Saquon guy. I'm drafted him crazy in underdog fantasy. And, Andy, there's these reports out there that he's turning down $14 million. Saquon, take that in a heartbeat. CMC's getting $16 million. You're lucky to get $14 million. But, yeah, I mean, running backs, it's just been a brutal, not just in fantasy, but in real life as well. I'm a big Alvin Kamara guy. Man, what a year or two it's been for him. So, yeah, you know, it's a very dangerous thing, and that's why, you know, it goes back to what Derek said earlier. Running backs, it's a quick flip kind of thing. There's not been one that's been able – in the modern, outside of Adrian Peterson, to really hold on for about a decade.
If there's a guy that does it, I think that Bijan. I don't know if maybe I bought into the hype, or if I've listened to too many analysts that have followed him since his high school days and have, like, grown up and saw what he's seen, what he's done for the community that he's been a part of, and it's just like his whole persona, his confidence, and everything. Like, I think Bijan's got a shot, especially going in this Atlanta Falcons run heaviest of run heavy offenses you can imagine with the draft capital he's got. I mean, it's just like he's going to get as much as he can possibly handle, and he is the complete package. So I think if there's a guy that's got a shot, it could be him. And how young he is, it doesn't matter if the Falcons go, you know, 2-15 this year. If he finishes as the rushing leader and the rookie of the year, he's going to have prices that eclipse most running back, even a lot of the quarterbacks' prices after the season. I mean, go back and look at what happened to Jonathan Taylor. Look at the spike that happened to Breece Hall, just being in that big market, taking over that backfield in his rookie year. And now you're talking about a guy as a top eight overall pick. I mean, it's going to be crazy.
We now get into play of the week. Andy, I'm going to let you go first, my man.
Yeah, so you guys were talking about all those underrated wide receivers. I've got a guy that's is in the middle of the pack. He's definitely undervalued. I think there's potential. I think you read between the lines in what the Denver Broncos are doing with bringing in head coach Sean Payton and then picking up Jerry Jeudy's fifth-year option. And with the trade rumors around Cortland Sutton just being potentially letting him walk, I think Jerry Jeudy is an underrated wide receiver. Ooh. And this guy, I think he could become Sean Payton's guy in this new Denver Broncos offense, which I do think is going to get obviously a lot. But, I mean, you got nowhere to go but up after last season under Nathaniel Hackett. So I think this is going to be a big boost to the Denver Broncos offense, bringing in Sean Payton. Really hopeful about that. And I think that Jerry Jeudy right now is undervalued. We know he's got first-round draft capital out of Alabama. He was touted as the best route runner from that draft class. And I'm sure that's changed a little bit when you look at what Justin Jefferson has done and stuff. But still, he's got a really good storyline. He's very young, and he really hasn't had a perfect combination of both quarterback play, coaching, and opportunities. So we'll see if those things line up. But if all three of those things line up this year for him, he is a guy that could finish as a top 10 wide receiver that's currently going, you know, around wide receiver like 30 to 50 range. I have to look at his current ADP, but I mean, I was just in a best ball underdog fantasy draft last night where I saw Jerry Jeudy going, and it was like the eighth round.
Jerry freaking Jeudy. Andy, I've already flipped all my Jerry Jeudy cards going into the Russell Wilson hype cycle. I just never bought back in. I had Jeudy as my number one guy in that draft class. I did. And it's just not worked out. I don't know what it is. A lot of these Bama receivers just haven't worked out until we get to my play of the week. I like DeVonta Smith. I've given it as a play of the week before, and he went on to rip it in the playoffs and had a great Super Bowl. I think we could see him outproduce A.J. Brown this next year. We know the Eagles are going to be good again. And his rookie ticket auto prices, they have floated around 30 bucks, 20, 30 bucks, sometimes in the 40s range, just rare stuff, over 100. I still think the Slim Reaper can flat out play. Same offense. Yeah, they lost their OC, Steichen. I don't think anything's going to change. They return Kelsey, return that offensive line. I still think Jerry Jeudy. I said Jerry Jeudy. I still think DeVonta Smith is going to go out there and freaking hoop this next year. So I understand he's from Louisiana. I understand I should be spiteful.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
He didn't go to LSU. I saw him light us up every year. DeVonta Smith is so smooth, and that offense is going to murder it again next year. So I love me some Devonta Smith. I know it makes me cringe a little bit to say that. We're talking about a Heisman Trophy winner, a wide receiver. We're talking about a guy that is already going to be a legend in football lore, maybe more for his college career than what he's going to do in the NFL, but he's still really freaking good in the NFL. So showing some love to Devonta Smith. And look, if you get a rookie ticket auto in the $25, $30 range, I know it's Justin Jefferson, but his rookie ticket autos go way higher than that. So he's not ever going to get that good, but I just see him constantly getting better and better and better. Good dude off the field as well. Love me some D. Smith. There you go.
Yeah, he's right there in that same range as T. Higgins, right? They're like the 1B combination on their team on a very prolific offense. So I don't know. Would you rather have Devonta Smith or T. Higgins if it was a $30 rookie ticket auto? That's a tough choice for you, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably going to pick Smith. I really am. I think, you know, obviously Burrow and Higgins have a really good connection. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they've connected on some just unbelievably tight window kind of throws. But Devonta Smith and Jalen Hurts, man, that Alabama connection, they just kept getting better and better and better and better towards the end of the season. And I just love watching that offense. I really do. So I think the Slim Reaper still crushes it. I don't think Dallas Goedert is as good as everyone says he is. And I think Smith is a little bit closer to A.J. Brown than most people would like to admit. So look out for Devonta Smith being the best producer in that offense. So Steven follows that up here. Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, all buys for you. We touched on Ridley a little bit earlier. Your thoughts on a Texas A&M Aggie, Christian Kirk?
Yeah, I like him. I find it interesting that Christian Kirk is going much later than Calvin Ridley in these best ball drafts we're doing on Underdog Fantasy. Calvin Ridley, most of the time he goes in like the third round. But if you look at Christian Kirk's ADP, I mean, the guy is going pick 51. So current ADP of pick 51, that's like fourth, fifth round. So yeah, man, big ADP disparity there between Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk, which tells me that there's probably a bigger discount on Christian Kirk. And the other thing is Christian Kirk has cards out now of him in Jaguars uniforms. You can target really rare 2022 Christian Kirk cards that I think have a definite upside. Cause I look at Trevor Lawrence as an aggressive quarterback that wants to take shots downfield. Sure, that fits Calvin Ridley's game a little bit better, but Christian Kirk, we've seen him take the top off of many of defenses. He's a great, great all-around wide receiver. He's made some massive plays last year with Trevor Lawrence. So he's got that chemistry with him, and then also with Kyler Murray before that. So, yeah, man, I think it's going to be another situation where those guys are going to have like different spike weeks throughout the season. So I think you've got opportunity on both of them. If I can get Christian Kirk a lot cheaper than Calvin Ridley, I'll definitely be putting some money there.
I see my guy Cody B, who super chatted a few times on here. Good to see Cody in here. He said he's loaded up on some T. Higgins. Let's go to Derek here, Andy. No love for Jalen Waddle, top five wide receiver in the league. Now, that's a little steep.
Is he undervalued though? I think he's a great guy to compare to the values of Devonta Smith. But then also you got to look at Ja'Marr Chase. And I'm not saying that Jalen Waddle's card should get up to that of Ja'Marr Chase, but I would be really interested to compare the three of those guys together and look at where their values are at. To get a better understanding of where Jalen Waddle is kind of at in the hobby. But I know he is going to come at a significant premium. He does get slept on a little bit because of Tyreek Hill. And I think there's a lot of people concerned about Tua's future in the NFL. And so I think that's another big factor of like holding some of the potential Jalen Waddle investors back. They're not sure if Jalen Waddle is going to have the same success with another quarterback not named Tua.
Who has been So how many puppies and big tournament drafts have you done on Underdog and just in general? How many have you done, Andy?
Like all time or just this offseason?
Yeah, just this offseason.
Oh, six.
Oh, you done six? Okay, I'm about at six right now. Who's been kind of your guy? Is there a guy that's just later and you're just snatching him that everybody's missing out on? Is there anyone that you can even think of at this point? And by the way, I love Derek. Waddle is not a top five receiver in the league. Top five dynasty receiver? Okay, we can have a conversation. But right now, so, yeah, I'll say that. But is there anybody right now, Andy, that's just tickling your fancy? He's someone out there that you're just like, God, at this ADP, I'm just smashing this.
Yeah, I think there's a few guys. Like I'm gonna pull up the one best ball that I did. Yeah, I mean I definitely look at a few guys. Like J.K. Dobbins is a big one for me.
Ooh.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins a massive one for me. When them bringing in Ted Monken and them drafting Zay Flowers and Lamar gets this big extension, you know they want to try and preserve his legs more now. You bring in Odell, so the receiving weapons have gone up. J.K. Dobbins is fully healthy. I think he could be an elite. He's got easy upside to be like a top five rushing leader in the NFL, and him going at round pick 63, which is where I got him in this draft. That's a sick value for me. When Ted Monken was in 2019, he was the offensive coordinator, right, for the Cleveland Browns, and Nick Chubb had like I think almost 2,000 rushing yards that season. So I'm excited about the possible season that J.K. Dobbins could have this year, and I think he's really undervalued. So he's a smash for me in the sixth round, like no doubt about it.
Steven says he's a Ravens fan, and he has an CHIT ton. I like the clean language there. No one knows what you're trying to say. of J.K. Dobbins PSA cards as well. Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't know how I feel about J.K. Dobbins. I've actually gotten Gus Edwards late in a few drafts. I'm still a Gus Edwards believer. I don't know how you feel about that, Andy, but I'm just trying to think of some players that I've just been avoiding in drafts. I don't know why I've been avoiding Derrick Henry. I don't know what the reason exactly is. Football card wise, I love 2016 cards. I just do, but I don't know why I've been avoiding Derrick Henry. For some reason, I have a sick feeling in my stomach that this is actually going to be the year that he falls off.
Well, I mean, if that is the case, then it's definitely time to sell, because you look at his more rare card, like the rookie ticket autos and stuff, they get pretty rare from 2016. Yeah. And people have really gobbled a lot of those up. Going back to, you know, how his dominant years of 2020 and 2021 where the boom really spiked for sports cards. So now is definitely a time to unload. I mean, this guy's got prices that rival Jared Goff and Dak Prescott, you know, the quarterbacks that are well known from that year. So, I mean, now is definitely the time to unload for Derrick Henry. We've been saying that for like a year now, probably 2 years, and it still continues to be a theme. This year, he's dropped a little bit. Like I'm looking at his value now going more in the third, fourth round. So, I mean, that's a pretty big drop when you look at him historically always being a first round running back.
Random. What do you guys think about Jimmy GQ in Vegas this year? I mean,
I'll tell you who's super undervalued. He's a guy I'm going to be loading up on when these Chronicles come out. It's not Jimmy G. It's Michael Mayer. I think the Ooh. Raiders got an incredible value out of Michael Mayer, who was literally like in a bad Notre Dame offense. Michael Mayer was literally the Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz in that offense. I mean, he's got easy upside to be the top tight end this year. And I know a lot of people are like all focused on Dalton Kincaid. And obviously I like Sam Laporta too. but I think Michael Mayer is going to outperform all of them on the Raiders. And I think he's teed up for a big year. And as a rookie, especially going to Notre Dame, and you just look at his profile and his film, Carter, I'm excited for this guy to be featured as the tight end one and on the, a big market team now in Vegas with Jimmy G, who, I mean, he's going to be dumping it off and passing it to tight ends, Devontae, any chance he can get.
Yeah, I'm in a draft right now, and I have the opportunity to stack Michael Mayer with Jimmy GQ, but I already have Mark Andrews and Sam Laporta. I'm a big Sam Laporta is my favorite tight end in this draft. He goes to the Lions. So there you go. Let's go to Cody, Super Chat. BK knows tight end talent. You know what he's referring to, BK, here, right here. You know what he's saying, Andy?
BK, help me out.
He's saying Burger King knows tight end talent. That's what he's saying. No, I'm kidding. He knows Brian Kelly was Michael Mayer's head coach many a moon's ago. And now Brian Kelly, for those that don't know who Brian Kelly is, he is a coach of the funnest, best sports team on the freaking planet. And if you don't know who that is your future 2024 college football playoff national champion LSU Tigers. So that is mark it down. Jaden Daniels. Let's freaking go. But yeah, we'll take a few more here. Cody, thank you so much for the super chat. But once again, we are going to the national. Cody, send us photos from Dallas. Cody is taking the card quest to Dallas this weekend for the Dallas Card Show.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go, Cody.
Be on the lookout. I'm looking for some Steve McNair patches. I gotta get a rare Steve McNair something soon. Alcorn State. Let's go. Did you know?
That's the goal, man. Card show. Card show goal of mine is to go around, have my little list of sleepers in my back pocket, and just find out which dealers are undervaluing these skill position players and see what kind of low ball offers I can make and cash deals that I can make for cards that I know I have a lot of upside in.
Can't believe Steve McNair was getting defensive back offers, not QB offers. LSU offered him as a DB. And in 1992, they went 2-9 because they thought Steve McNair was a DB. And he went to Alcorn State, and the rest is freaking history. But yes, this was a fun episode. This is one of our best episodes. I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend you go back and listen to what we said about this disastrous 2019 NFL and NBA draft class. Had a long diatribe about it. It sucks so bad. I just hate the timing of it, that was the class before the boom, and the cards were basically already out, or kind of sort of out. But I just hate how everything basketball and football's unfolded in that class, of course, outside of the football skill guys. But, Andy, a good episode. Anything else you want to share before we skedaddle?
I mean, hey, NBA finals are in the books, so it's only a matter of time naturally for people start turning their eyeballs back to all the football plays that they want to make heading into training camp and preseason. So we're in a little window here where values for a certain guy, a lot of guys we talked about in this episode, are at probably all-time like off-season lows. So as people are just kind of – a lot of people are probably cooling off from the crazy NBA finals. So – you know, I would take advantage of that now and get ready. Like, take advantage of that now and get ready.
Did you say NBA Finals is in the books?
Yeah. Right? Am I wrong?
No.
It's not much I follow the NBA. I thought Game 7 was just...
No.
Sunday night.
Yeah, it was Game 7 of the Eastern Divisionals. Like, the conference finals haven't even started yet. I mean, goodness gracious.
Well, see, I'm a little bit early. So this is even better.
Even better.
This is even better. this is even better. This is how much I follow the NBA. I could have swore I saw a tweet on my timeline that said something about game seven in the books, blah, blah, blah. And there was a certain, it was a card guy. It was some NBA player's values tanking. And so
probably
I'm like, oh, then that means the NBA finals are in the books. Yeah. No editing that out when you're live.
No. What if Nikola Jokic was like a big fan of our channel and he was like, what in the world is happening? How do they disrespect me right now? But no, LeBron taking on the Nuggets. I like Denver. I think Denver's going to win it. I think it's going to be a Denver versus Boston finals. But we're not here to chat NBA.
Yeah.
But the Pelicans will land Victor Wembanyama tonight. Put out the good vibes, baby. We'll see you next week, baby. Peace out.
Appreciate you guys. Peace.